So I want to say something to progressives. I guess that's what they call themselves. I'm not sure what the overlap that is between that and Bernie Sanders supporters. But I think it's probably pretty close. So they, and I've been trying to listen, and this is what I hear, is they look at the cast of the DNC and the messages that came out of the DNC, who spoke, who didn't speak, and what they think is, or say, is that they're disappointed that there was so little of, let's say, Bernie Sanders' agenda, you know, Medicare for all, free college tuition. I don't remember what all they all are, and that's just a function of having my mind be elsewhere. These are all things that I believe in and I support, and if asked to vote on them, I would vote yes. And they were not represented. I mean, when Biden talks about healthcare reform, he talks about improving Obamacare. He doesn't talk about a single-payer system. And no, so it's accurate. But I don't think the disappointment is reasonable or rational, fair, or if you feel it, that expressing it publicly is not a good idea. It's really something to hold, own yourself, feel it, remember it, and come back to it after we've won the election. Because you look at it, I mean, I thought that Kasich's imagery of a fork in the road, I thought that was very useful. Because that is, I mean, maybe that should have been on the screen 100% of the time during the DNC. Because that's what's going on right now. What I see is the United States government is reforming. We lost, not only did we lose an election, and I'm talking about the Constitution, the whole two-party system, elections that matter, impeachment that matters, the Constitution that matters. I mean, look at the bald face of the facts of what happened this year before the virus. Trump clearly did something not just unconstitutional, but very dangerous. Running the foreign policy of the United States for a campaign, political campaign at home. I mean, it's almost a perfect example of exactly what you don't want the president doing. And so our vote did manage to get him impeached. This is how much of our democracy, our system still is there, or was in 2018 at least, because that allowed us to elect a Democratic House, which took its sweet time in impeaching him. I would have liked to have seen them impeach him on day one, because their power was being eroded every day. The sooner they did it, you know. Anyway, might be wrong. Well, and that would have been before Barr was even appointed and certainly hadn't had a chance to establish himself and put up the roadblocks. It would have been better in hindsight. But they didn't do it, and that's it. You know, as they say, it is what it is. By the way, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm not letting that one go. It's too useful. It really is a good ending to a lot of questions. It just sort of is a shoulder shrug. It says, yeah, well, this is something I have no power over, and so therefore, it is what it is. Okay. So you look at that fork in the road that Kasich was pointing out, and he was talking to explaining himself trying to have a career after doing what he is doing. What he is doing is suicide. I don't know if people really appreciate that. And Kasich is a human being. He's a political leader. He has a following. They are Americans. Their voice counts as much as anybody's voice counts. That's a very important point. And those people, between Trump and somebody different from Biden would have absolutely no representation, no chance to vote for something that represented even remotely close to their interests. And it requires a lot of stretching for them to get to the point where they will vote or can vote for Biden. And I get it. I mean, I could imagine the tables being turned, you know. These days, I'm pretty much a straight party line Democratic voter. It wasn't always that way. But I am today, and if I had an option that just simply, oh, I don't know what would be a good example. I can't come up with that example right now, and it's not productive to even do it. It's just I can imagine the place that these people are in. So the thing that I understand about Biden, I think, as a politician, and, you know, I have the benefit of having been an adult the entire time, at least the entire time he has been running for president. He came to office in Congress when I was a kid. So there's like that. He was 29, I guess, I don't know. I was 16, a kid. So I can't say I was an adult when he came to Congress, but I was definitely an adult in 1988 when he ran for president for the first time. So I've had a chance to watch Biden, and after that, after he ran for president, it didn't work, and his campaign went down in flames, you know, it was, you are always aware of him, and not, like, terribly interested in him, but aware of him, and what you get about Biden is that he is more of, he's not an ideologue, that's for sure. He's definitely not a Bernie Sanders. He probably, I mean, he, in if for the situation we're in right now, it's amazing how ideal he is, okay? Because his job is, first, to win the election, okay? If he doesn't win the election, none of this matters. You should be clear about that, too. Trump is not going to do anything that you want. Mr. and Ms. Progressive, Trump will not listen to you. He doesn't care about you. He will not send help to your state when people are dying of a deadly virus if you voted against him. I mean, we've seen this, and that was in his first term. The second term, this is a guy who not only got away with treasonous violations of the Constitution in his first term, he will have gotten away with it in an election. So boy, is he ratified. Nobody can say the people aren't on his side. He won, right? And so it's over for the United States at that point. We can't come back from that. It won't happen. I'm absolutely sure of it. I'm not sure it'll happen right now because we're so far down the line, because he's gotten away with so much. Why wouldn't he try to completely ignore the result of the election? Of course he will. And then you can get down to the pragmatics of what we have to do to try to overcome that. We'll do our best. You know, we're kind of in the same place we were with the Electoral College vote in the end of 2016. I mean, that would have been a Hail Mary, right? To get the Electoral College to say, wait a minute, we can't let this guy be president. It's clear this is like the result of an attack on our country by Russia. And that is not a result we can ratify. That would have been the time to do it. That would have been the same time for us to do it. Yet we couldn't muster that. People just said, well, you know, that's just too difficult. We can't do that. Let's just pretend everything's okay and maybe it will be. It's kind of the same kind of thinking that Trump was doing about the virus, right? Oh, you know, just magically disappear. Trump is a disease, was always a disease, certainly was a disease at the time the Electoral College voted in 2016. The smart thing to have done would have been to eradicate him at that point and pay the price, whatever it is. I think there's a lot of bluffing going on there, too, about people being willing to go take their guns and go shoot people. I think there's a lot of paper tiger bullshit going on there. It's like, because they know the liberals are intimidated by that kind of talk. Well, of course they'll use that kind of talk, right? When you come right down to it, you have to be a certain kind of crazy to do that. And for whatever you think about Trump supporters, whatever they are, most of them are just not crazy. Seriously. Anyway, what was I going to say? So, your ideas were not presented at the DNC. However, your ideas will be up for discussion should Biden win. That's the thing I want to be sure you understand. If you have enough support to, or if, let's say we have enough support to get single payer passed through Congress, and we have enough representation in the Senate and in the House, maybe we'll even have enough representation in the state houses, and maybe we can start passing some constitutional amendments. Wouldn't that be something? And then think about how would you actually do that? Now we're at the thing, this is what I wanted to explain, what I wanted to say. Suppose what you wanted to do was build a majority that was so large that you could pass constitutional amendments that would basically take the things, you know, the norms that Trump trampled over and codify them and make them part of the Constitution. You know, it's like when you debug a piece of software, you put it through testing, and you find out, you know, people will do things that you wouldn't do. And that's how when you find the bugs, more bugs at least, hopefully you found some bugs before you release that version. And then what do? You just say, yeah, well, you know, we just don't have enough programmers to actually fix the bugs, so we'll just leave them in there. No, you fix the fucking bugs is what you do. So why do we go to all the trouble to find out? I mean, think of all the trouble we went to find out that, you know, a president can do all the things Trump does and most of them won't even be illegal. Well, let's make them illegal. Let's not only make them illegal, let's figure out how to make it so we catch that before the guy even gets elected. Like, for example, a candidate for president can't trample the Constitution. If the Constitution says full financial records, one of the requirements for being president is that you have released all your financial records within, let's say, 2 years of the inauguration that you're running for. In other words, you're running for president in 2024. If you haven't released your tax returns, full financial statements, by January 2022, you can't run. That would be a nice thing. Let's put it in the fucking Constitution. It's a simple thing. It will fix one of the bugs. We really have a right to know, and we need to filter out people. What this will do is filter out people who are either committing tax fraud because they won't want to make their records public, or people who are getting paid by Russia or have all kind or aren't worth $10 billion and they say that they are worth $10 billion. Who the fuck knows? There's going to be some interesting shit in those tax returns, don't you think? Maybe even enough to wake people up. I mean, this whole business with Bannon stealing money from supporters of the wall. I heard some interesting interviews on NPR this morning. They went out and found some Trump supporters and asked them what they thought of it. They didn't like it. They said, well, you know, we thought the border wall was a good idea because they told us it was a good idea. So we gave them some money. And now, what? What are they doing? I don't like that. That's what I told you. They're not that crazy. They've just been sold a bill of goods. A lot of them. They're not crazy. You tell them that this guy bought a new car or had facial surgery with their money. It was supposed to go for the wall because the wall was what we needed to keep the outsiders from coming and, you know, doing all this crazy stuff to our beautiful little towns. Anyway. So what we do is we all swallow hard and we all say, okay, our country needs us to cut it some slack right now. And in order to get over this hump, we all need to work with each other. And we need to stop being so picky and stop thinking you're going to win without enough support and without majority support in the country. You know, if progressive agendas were supported enthusiastically by 51% of the people in the United States, you know damn well your shit would have been all over that convention, right? The reason it wasn't is because it's not enough to win. You can't, not only can't you win, you have to win by a big margin right now, because we need to own the Senate, and we need to own the House, and we need to have the president, And we need to be able to change some things. Another thing we need to change, we need to add another couple of people to the Supreme Court because those assholes stole a seat that was Obama's appointment. Obama did a nice thing. He gave them neither a conservative nor a liberal. They gave him a middle-of-the-road guy, and they said, I'm sorry, not good enough. We need a Federalist Society guy. And they got their Federalist Society guy. We need to almost outlaw the Republican Party, too, by the way. This shit can't happen again. Certain things like defaulting on the deficit, that has to be put in the Constitution as well. Or there at least needs to be a very strong law that says it's no longer subject to approval of Congress so that the Republicans or whatever their successor is can't play this trick again. We need to go back over the last 20 years, going back to Newt Gingrich, and look at all of the little bullshit trips they put on our country and make them illegal and enforce and set up enforcement for it. We need to rewrite the rules. And for that, we can't just squeak by with a little victory. We have to have one. We do need to separate the voters in this country into two groups. And the groups are, on one side, the people that support the Constitution, and the other side, the people that are Nazis. And I think that when we do that, and if the case, and we certainly have a moment. I mean, it's like the United States is like one of those mountains in California that's burning right now. That's what's happening right now. There's a huge fire raging through. It's not just California. It's the entire country. It's called COVID-19. And really, it would be a good time to have a constitution. Now you can see what Reagan said was wrong. You know, they had the luxury then. I know they. I was there, right? What he said was the problem is there's too much government, not that the government isn't doing what we want. It's not exactly how he said it. And as a result, we've had government now. Even the Democrats were doing this. Clinton said the era of big government is over. And look where that got us. Now we had no ability to respond to this pandemic. Luckily, however, we never really, not luckily actually, we never really went all the way with that idea. And we were still prepared to fight the pandemic. The problem was we had an insane president who had no idea what the fuck a president does. No, seriously, I don't know if you've been following this, and maybe this is a good place to end it, but they decided not, the federal government in the White House decided not to get involved with the national policy for fighting the COVID-19 because it was believed at the time it was largely affecting blue states, and they figured, well, we can just like blame that on the Democratic governors. Have you ever heard of something so depraved? I mean, it's even hard to think of another example of how depraved that is. We had the warning with Puerto Rico, right? I mean, all the places the United States hasn't helped, we didn't help our own citizens in Puerto Rico. That should have been all the warning we needed. It won't be. Next time it will be a warning. Next time we will know. I don't know how long we'll know. You know, one thing I was sure of, having lived through Vietnam, that my generation there would be no more Vietnams. That was it for my generation. That maybe after my generation, you know, was gone, the mistake would be made again, you know. And, didn't turn out to be right. We went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Those were like Vietnam. The only difference was we had learned how not to create protests in the United States because there was no draft and there were tax cuts. And a boom. And nobody really felt the war. We went to war without feeling it, so... That should be illegal too. should have a constitutional amendment saying the draft is permanent and that, you know, we'll always be drafting young people. You know, there are countries that do that. Israel does that. It's not an option. You can't get out of it. Everybody goes into the army. And I don't think it would be such a bad thing in the United States if that, you know, maybe we don't need such a large army. Well, that idea might actually start catching on. Oh, I don't think we actually need that much army, people will say, because I don't want my kid being drafted. He or she wants to go on and have a life, or, you know. And there should also be an automatic tax increase when we go to war. And that'll get them on the other side. Well, I don't think I want to pay for this war, frankly. I don't see why we're going to war. If you're paying for it, you might not want to do it. The way it works now is they just go to war. They print the money. The United States is a very dangerous country because we alone can print money. Every other country needs our money. And as long as that's true, it's like Americans don't even realize this. You know, they always, the politicians always say, well, the taxpayers are paying for this. Well, no, actually, the taxpayers are not paying for this. Whatever it is, the only reason taxpayers pay for anything is fiscal policy, I think. They just want to certain control over people. They want to sort of, you know, encourage certain behaviors, or maybe they feel if we didn't have taxes, we inevitably would have inflation. That certainly has been a big theory, you know. Hasn't turned out to be true, by the way. The world just sucks up our currency and it doesn't inflate. God knows why, but it doesn't happen. I wouldn't bet on that being true forever, but so far hasn't been the real thing going on. Okay, I gotta go.